welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord you're able to join me today as we continue on with a message entitled Delivered from the Snare of the Fowler. And that particular phrase is taken from Psalm 91:3, where the Lord says, or David says basically, Surely the Lord shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That's true of everyone who abides in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. And as we saw yesterday, the fowler basically is a person who would seek, catch, and kill wild fowl, basically a hunter. And of course, as we're using this in a spiritual sense, we're referring to the adversary. And a snare is something that will trap or be like a treacherous lure. And we were looking at several scriptures yesterday, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation, that beautiful promise, has taken you but such as is common to man. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. And we began to look at a particular state of being that many of us have found ourselves in at one time or another, and that is self-pity. And it comes from feeling sorry for oneself, dwelling on one's misfortunes or sorrows. And this, as we, the fact that we could be tested or tempted with it is not a sin. Even Jesus, he said at one point, he had no place to lay his head. He wasn't complaining about that. He could have been tempted to sin. He could have, instead of resisting that temptation, he could have felt sorry for himself. When he was dealing with a man with a lunatic son, he said, "How long must I suffer you?" Referring to his disciples, because of their lack of faith, they could not cast out the demon. But Jesus was victorious. He did not sin. And praise God, he's given us the word that if we find ourselves at times in a place of self-pity, we understand that it's basically a sin of mental attitude. It's a denial of the biblical principle of Romans 8:28, that all things are working together for good. Now you might say, "Well, Sister Glass, when something's a work of the enemy, we need to take authority over it and resist it and rebuke it." That's exactly right. That is exactly what the Word commands us to do. And the scripture that I just shared with you in Corinthians, the 10th chapter, God won't allow us to be tested above what we're able. But anything that does come our way in the providence of the Lord, if it should come, God is allowing it for His purposes. He's given us spiritual weapons. He's told us about spiritual warfare, having done all, stand there. Therefore, gird about with the full armor of God that Ephesians talks about. And so all things are working together for good. As James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, that's the whole point of all the trials, testings, temptations, is that we can be perfected in the character of Jesus Christ. Why? Because, beloved, if you've accepted Jesus, we're all part of His family. And you know what? In the ages to come, for eternity, onto everlasting eternity, we're going to be living and sharing the goodness of the Lord forever and ever. So we have to understand that self-pity is a denial of that scripture. It's saying, "I don't believe that what I'm going through is any good thing, and it's not working for my good." That's the stance of a natural man or of self-pity. But also, you know, it can be a habit. It actually can occur, and you're not even aware you're doing it. And let me just say that the more self-pity is indulged, it is easier to slip into this thinking pattern whenever disagreeable circumstances arise. So many things we just do automatically by habit. And so when anything negative happens, we have a habitual response to it. Well, we can ask the help of the Holy Spirit to monitor our thoughts. We are to take that active role and desiring and praying to God that we can bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. And beloved, why am I speaking and spending so much time on self-pity? Because beloved, if you indulge in self-pity, it won't be very long before you end up in depression. And, you know, I don't know who wrote this or where I got it from, but I think it's a great saying. It's good to have things settled by faith before they are unsettled by feeling. That's so good. I'm going to read it again. It is good to have things settled by faith before they are unsettled by feeling. So we have to make a determination that we're not going to be caught by this snare of the adversary to make us feel sorry for ourselves when there are trials and testings. And are those sometimes very difficult places? Oh, yes, they are. Goodness, in my life, I've gone through some very, very hard times, things that I didn't think I was ever going to get through. I didn't know if I had the strength to carry on. But obviously, God gave me strength, and I'm here today praising God and thanking Him for His faithfulness and for His goodness. Now, the first thing we have to do, and I want to share now with you five very practical steps for victory in this area. And before I do that, I want to share a scripture found in Proverbs, the 28th chapter, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so the first and very most important step we can take for victory over self-pity is to face it as a sin, as what it truly is. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings or complainings. Another word, that's Philippians 2:14. And what we need to do is to face this attitude of mind as a sin, realizing that is the initial or first step toward deliverance. And, you know, this is the hardest to do for self-pity because, let's be honest, it's so easy to justify in the natural. Job certainly felt sorry for himself. But beloved, instead of commiserating with yourself, instead of having a pity party, instead of blaming others for the injury or the insult or the rejection or the tragedy, we need to face self-pity squarely as a giant mental sin that will destroy you. You have to do this if you want to break the habit. You have to realize that it truly is a sin. Let's look at it a little more deeply. Self-pity, where does it come from? It really springs from unbelief. It says that I don't believe anything good is going to come out of this. It goes further into, it really begins to question God's love and His care and His mercy. God, if you love me, why am I going through this? God, if you love me, you see all that I've done. You see I've prayed and I've tithed and I've gone to church or whatever the thing you rehearse before the Lord. And why is this going on? What have I done? Well, if we allow that seed, and it'll grow into a weed very quickly, it will prevent you from drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit in your time of need. And it will create depression, whether or not the cause is justified or imagined. So it doesn't matter what, quote, the facts are. The point is, it is something we need to flee from as the plague. He will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And it can be as a noisome pestilence, beloved. Some people live for years in a state of depression, and basically, self-pity is what took them there. And then The second practical step I'd like to share with you, now remember, number one is facing self-pity as a sin, and then the second step is to confess self-pity as a sin. That beautiful promise in 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, that word confess, it literally means to agree with God that an action or an attitude is a sin and that it should have no place in our lives. Now, what's the third step? We're going to move on to that next, and that is to ask God, once we've acknowledged it, once we've realized that, oh, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, but I guess I have been offending, I've been sinning in this area. Then we confess it as a sin, asking the Lord to cleanse us from this unrighteousness, and then to ask the Lord for victory over self-pity. Beloved, you and I are children of light. And as a child of light and God's power, you don't have to be a slave to this tyrannical habit. Now, that's not true of the unsaved, but you have to want it. 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us, and that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Note that, that's present tense. We have the petitions we desired of him. Well, my time has flown on this broadcast, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me, but before I do that, I just want to pray and ask the Lord, Father, you see those who are struggling with this. Father, we do acknowledge it as a sin. We repent of it, and we ask you to cleanse us and to give us victory over this snare of the fowler. Lord, that we can be actively praising you and thanking you for your goodness and deliverance out of every trial and every temptation the evil one would send our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining me, and we're going to continue on with the other couple steps I'd like to share with you. If you need further prayer, please know I'm here for you, and what I send back to you will be a blessing, as countless thousands over the years have declared it to be when I write back and share with you what God would have me send. Thank you for listening, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.